I got sound. Yes, ma'am. One of the things I love about Jesus is Jesus was always in control of his emotions. Always in control. If you can control your emotions, you pretty much can control every other aspect of your soul. Because your emotions, once again, is the thing that fuels your actions. So if you control your emotions, you control every other aspect of your soul. That's why Jesus, in Luke 21:19, Jesus said, in your patience, possess your soul. If you can control those emotions, then you can clearly hear from God. You can have time to make the right decisions. You can give the Holy Spirit a chance to let you see something that you couldn't see because your emotions are out of whack. See, all those things are important. See, a lot of us sometimes make bad decisions because of our emotions. You see? Now, controlling your emotions, listen to me, Internet. Controlling your emotions is a learned behavior. This is something you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do. This is something you have to practice. This is something that you have to work on. Mm-hmm. Philippians 2, he says, work out your own salvation. Mm-hmm. It's something you're going to have to work on. God is not going to control your emotions. Amen. You're going to have to control your emotions. Mm-hmm. See, this is not something for God to do. It's something for you to do. So that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Our emotions are not always meant to go with the flow of circumstances. Get that. No matter what happens in your life, you have to check your emotions. No matter what happens. Because your emotions, if you allow your flesh to run your emotions, it's going to go with the circumstances. But that's when you have to allow your spirit to be in control. That's why I say in your patience, possess your soul. So it gives your spirit a chance to kick in. I saw a statement I wanted to read to you. I was reading my notes earlier today. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, emotions are powerful, but like any weapon, they must be fired in the right direction. Man, your emotions are, I have an uncle. I have an uncle who is just low-key, nothing phases him. He just even keeled. One of the most nicest people you ever want to meet in your life. I'll never forget, I was younger, I've seen this uncle mad, and this is the most, I only seen him mad one time. But man, when he got mad, he was something to deal with. And so I was young at the time, and I had never seen him like that, man. I thought the world was coming to an end. Because I had never seen him mad. But in that particular situation, he had got upset, and he was like, it took my dad and a couple of my other uncles to calm him down because he was hot. Your emotions are very powerful. And so that's why you have to keep them in check, because if you don't keep them in check, it'll cause you to do some things that you're going to regret later. It'll cause you to make some decisions that you're going to be like, it'll cause you to say something that you can't take back. Once that gun is fired, you can't get that bullet back. You see? So that's why it's important that we check our emotions. Keep them under control. Run every emotion we have through the Word of God. Remember, we talked about that. Run every emotion that you have through the Word of God. This is how I feel. What does the Word say about it? Well, how would God feel in this situation? and that's possessing your soul. It's giving you a chance to get your mind, get your soul, get your emotions in check. Is that making sense? You know, one of the most effective ways that you control your emotions is you talk to yourself out loud. Because look, something is going to get your attention, either the situation, your emotions, or you're going to talk to yourself and talk to yourself out loud to get a hold of your situation, to get a hold of yourself. Oh, Leroy Jr., you can't do this. Think about this, Leroy Jr. Think about this. Talk to yourself. I don't care what nobody say. Talk to yourself. Because your situation is talking to you. The devil is talking to you. So you need to talk to yourself.
That's right. Amen.
Are you saying this?
Amen.
Some, you know, one of the ways that I handle erroneous thoughts. If I got a bad thought or evil thought, I immediately out loud say the opposite. See, the thought can't float and you talk at the same time. That thought got to stop in order to engage your mouth to say what you want to say. So that's I talk to myself all the time. And I don't care what nobody say. If you do not keep, this is very key. If you do not keep your emotions, if you're not able to control your emotions, that's where Satan is coming every time. That's where he's coming every time. Because he knows you haven't been disciplined enough in your emotions, disciplined enough to say, I need to get stronger in this area. So Satan comes to the area every time. Keep pressing that button. Keep pressing that button. It may be a situation. It may be a person. He's going to keep pressing that button. Keep pressing that button. Keep pressing that button. Until you decide, I'm not having no more. I'm going to check this emotion. He'll use that same person, that same situation to come into your life over and over again because that is his. See, the reason why we're talking about the five aspects of the soul is because Satan is trying to get access to you through one of the five. So if he can get to you based on your emotions, he ain't got to deal with the other folk. He don't have to deal with the other folk. If he knows this situation is going to cause you to act this way every time, he's going to cause this situation to happen. Jesus had total control of his emotions. I mean, to the point, we talked about this, to where the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, brought him to his weakest moment. And the Holy Spirit say, okay, Satan, nah, come on. Jesus was in total control of his emotions. He didn't let nothing faze him. He let nothing Satan say to him cause him to get outside of what God had called him to do. Amen. Why had God, why, and he got him, didn't even get him to go outside of why God called him for what he was supposed to do. Is that making sense? That was Jesus showing us. Now watch this. So don't say, I don't know if I can do this. Listen a minute. Don't say, I don't know if I can do this. Because it's in the DNA of Jesus. And the DNA of Jesus is on the inside of us. So there's not one emotion that you cannot keep in check. Not one. Jesus kept all of them in check. If he kept all of them in check and he lives on the inside of me, I can keep them all in check. Second aspect of the soul, intellect and reasoning. So we talked about the emotions. Now we're going to intellect and reasoning, which is one aspect of your soul. Intellect and reasoning. Now this is the one that gets us in trouble. Our reasoning, our thinking. Now let's get some things, lay a foundation. God gave us our intellect. God gave us our intelligence. So there's nothing wrong with having intelligence and using intelligence. God gave them to us. God is intelligent. God just don't want us using our intellect and reasoning without him being involved. First, Isaiah, the first chapter. Watch this. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1:18. He said, "Come now and let us reason together," said the Lord. "Come, let us reason together," said the Lord of hosts. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So what God is saying here is sin translated to mean actions. Though your actions, watch what I say, though your actions be as scarlet or go in the wrong direction, they shall be white as snow, or they shall be become my ideas. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Even though they're going to be rough around the edges, when you talk to me, we're going to smooth them out. When you spend time with God, meditating, with reasoning with him, God, I know what I want to do with this situation, but what do you think about it? Sometimes God will say, okay, I agree with you. So now when God say, I agree with you, you can go with your idea, because now you know you got his backing.
Yes, sir.
But a lot of times we go with our ideas without checking with him, right?
Yes,
so you go not sure, you go, watch, you go under your own ability, under your own power. But he didn't say, come, let us reason together. The saint, now watch this. Why would God put his spirit in us but not his intellect? You have the same intellect that God has. Oh, yes, you do. You may not be able to contain it all at once, but you do. Go to 1 John. 2. 1 John 2, verse 20. I want you to understand this about your intellect. So I don't care what anybody has said to you. I don't care what anybody has tried to categorize intellectually. Somebody tried to put you in. All that's irrelevant. Regardless of what any teacher told you, all that's irrelevant. The reason why that is irrelevant is because, number one, you're no longer tied to your physical lineage. That's John, the first chapter. That's John, the first chapter, verse 13. You're here because God wants you here. So if I'm here because God wants me here, I'm equipped with God, what God has equipped me with. If God gave me his spirit, he sure don't give me his spirit and not give me his intellect. Watch this. 1 John 2:20. But ye have a what? Unction from the Holy One. And what that unction does? Calls you to know all things. So if I get an unction, I can know all things. Right? So I need to work on the unction so I know all things. See, the wonderful thing about God is I ain't got to know everything, because I got the person who knows everything with me. But if I get an unction from him, then I'm going to know what he knows. Because I have the capabilities of having his mind, of having his intellect. Let me show you this. Let me find this right quick. Now, give me a minute. I'm going to find it. Find a certain scripture. Isaiah 55. All right, let's read verse 8, because this is where a lot of people look at verse 8 and don't think that God has given us his intellect, right? What it says, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So if you read that scripture by itself, it would seem like we're incapable of having the intellect of God or the mind of God, right? Go to verse 7. What it says. Then we go to verse 8, because God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, wicked man. I'm not wicked. I am a born again child of God. I am an offspring of God. So I have the same DNA as God. So that means if I have the same DNA as God, I have the same intellect as God. So my thought, I can access those higher thoughts. I can access those higher ways. Because I am a child of God. I'm not wicked. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer in that class. Yeah. Amen. So therefore, God in that particular verse wasn't talking to me. He was talking to them.
Yes, sir.
I can access the ways of God. I can access the thoughts of God. Yes. I don't care how high they go.
Yeah.
I could go on up there with him. Because I'm his child.
Yes.
I'm made in his image. He breathed his spirit in me. So when he breathed his spirit in me, he put his mind in me. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Are you saying this? This is the reason why Jesus spoke in parables. Because He knew that we were going to need our intellect inspired by the Holy Spirit to receive the revelation from those parables.
Amen.
See, you can't receive from God without using your mind, without using your intellect to process what God is saying. Even though some things God is maybe saying may not make sense, you still need your mind to process it, to receive it.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? So you must understand that your intellect, that God wants to use your intellect. See, a lot of people take this scripture out of context too. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 2. Paul was teaching, Paul said in the third verse, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We read that, a lot of preachers read that scripture and say, well, Paul was uneducated. That's not true. Paul was an intellect. Paul was a mind amongst minds. But what Paul was saying here is, I'm not coming to you with your wisdom that you have established as wisdom. I'm coming from another level. I'm coming from the spirit world, which because my mind is, watch this, my mind has been renewed with the word of God. I can take my mind places that you can't take your mind. I can access thoughts you can't access. So I'm not coming to you with your wisdom. I'm not coming to you talking to you on your level. I'm coming to you because I'm accessing an intellect that's in another realm. That's why he said demonstration in spirit and in power. Are you seeing this? So your intellect, you have to properly allow God to use your intellect. See, God ain't got no problem with us using our mind or using our intellect. He just don't want us to use it without him. God expects our intellect to be used and to grow. This is why I encourage you have to be a reader. You have to be a reader. You within yourself, you won't access everything. But there are other people around this world that has intellects. And some of them are inspired by God. And so when you read, you're able to expand your intellect. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. This is why the word of God has to be the foundation, because whatever you read has to be found, the word of God has to be the foundation. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's easy for me to read a book and recognize this book is foolishness. Because I got the word of God as my basis. An ungodly intellect will rebel against God. Romans the 8th chapter. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So an ungodly intellect cannot be subject to God. It will constantly challenge him because it thinks it knows better, or will simply refuse to obey any command of God until it understands everything to its satisfaction. That leads to a clear case of pride. I know better. God tell you to do, I'm not doing that. That don't make no sense. Well, now you're starting to ask, when God tells us to do something that we can't understand in the natural, that's us accessing an intellect that's beyond where we are. Yes, yes. What sense does it make? You need wine at a wedding. What sense does it make? You need wine at a wedding. Yes, sir. And the woman, a woman out the blue who you invited to the wedding, tells you whatever he says, you do it. He tells you, go fill the pots up with water. What? That don't sound too naturally intelligent, does it? But if we learn to access the mind of God, and God gives us instructions that's beyond our reason, beyond our reasoning, that means we're allowing our intellect to go where God is going. We go beyond our reasoning. That's when God can do great things and perform miracles in our lives.
Amen.
Because it makes no sense. What sense does it make? You owe taxes. And he tells you go fishing. Then tell you the first fish you catch. Look in his mouth. You're going to have enough money to pay my taxes and yours. What sense does it make? for you to have over 5,000 people.
Come on.
And you bring him two fish and five loaves of bread, and you feed five. What sense? See, because we're dealing with different intellect. We're dealing with an intellect that's going into another realm. And so you have to allow yourself, you have to allow your intellect to go into the other realm. And if you don't be careful, you will let man's wisdom limit you from going into the other realm with your intellect to see and to know things that you can't know on this level.
Amen.
Makes no sense. Listen, what sense does it make for a man to hang himself on a cross and redeem people from sin that he don't even know? It don't make it. See, some people can't even get beyond how you believe that. I believe it because I've allowed my intellect to go beyond your limited thinking. And so I'm able to see in another world. I understand. I believe. I know what happened. I receive it. I see the change in my life. So now my intellect is rising above this world system's intellect. Are you getting this? So an ungodly intellect will fight against that. An ungodly intellect will challenge that. It creates pride in its track record of good decision or knowledge gain. That's why it's hard for super intelligent people to deal with the cross.
Right.
You mean it's that simple? All I got to do is accept Jesus Christ, believe in my heart, confess my sins, believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I'm saved?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, now I don't understand. I got more. That's that ungodly intellect trying to block them. Are you seeing this? We'll continue next week. Ha ha ha.